Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and the first three verses. Genesis chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And our subject this evening is In the Beginning, as we consider this the first book of Moses called Genesis. And well, in the Hebrew, the title of this book is literally In the Beginning. The first words of this book comprise the Hebrew title. The title Genesis comes from the Greek, and really it means, well, it has a number of meanings, but it can mean birth or genealogy or origin. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is where everything starts. And well, as we go through these chapters and verses, well, there is so much that we could say. And part of the great struggle in preaching these verses is what angle to take. There are so many angles we could take, so many ways we could look at these verses. We could look at them in a purely apologetic fashion, because of course there is much controversy and debate about these verses at the modern time. And I remember sharing a story with you not so long ago about a brother in the ministry, and he was approached by an Anglican vicar. And this Anglican vicar wanted to work together with him to reach out to the community together, Anglicans and Baptists. And he saw no problem in that. And this brother in the ministry, who's a good sound brother, he said, "Well, before we work together, we have to sit down with the Bible and we have to work out whether we agree with one another on the message of the Bible." And so they met up and they sat down together. They opened up the Bible. They read the first verse, and immediately there was a disagreement. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, this Anglican didn't believe that, and so of course they couldn't work together. And that is of course such a shame, because well, these words, they affect everything. Many Christians don't believe that they do, but they affect everything. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If we believe these things, well, that gives everything purpose. Everything has a purpose. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God, who is glorious, who is almighty, who is all-wise, all-knowing, who has glorious purposes. If God has created this earth, well, he must have done it for a purpose. It's not meaningless. We are not here on this earth without meaning. If in the beginning God has created all these things, well, then there must be some purpose to everything. And the meaning of our lives is to find out that purpose. Why has God created the heaven and the earth? This gives us the reason for life. God has created the heaven and the earth. But if we don't believe these words, in the beginning, well, we don't know where we came from. Perhaps it's by evolution. Perhaps it's by chance. Well, then there is no meaning at all. And we end up, well, we look at verse 2. This was the earth without God, earth waiting for God's creating word. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Well, that is a person's life without God. A person without God who does not believe that God created the earth and the heaven, well, their life is without form. What meaning can they possibly have to their lives? They have to invent meaning to their lives. God, well, there is no God. He has not created anything. So I will make up my own purpose. I will make up my own vocation. I will wander from one thing to the next. This is what we see so often in our society. People, they don't know what their true vocation is, what their true purpose is. They go into one job. They think this is my great purpose in life. And then after a few years, they have to find something else. And they go from one thing to another thing to another thing. Their lives are without form. They don't have any moral form at all. There's no set morality. There's no form. You can just make up what is right, what is wrong. I make up my own morals. I make up my own rules. God has not created anything. God has not given me my life. I don't have to stand before him. So I will decide what is right and what is wrong. And well, these rules can change the older I get. Everything is without form. There is no fixed absolutes in your life. And that is just like a person without God. And void, we read. The earth was without form and void. Really, that means empty. And well, we could speak again at length about the emptiness of life without God. Somebody, well, they only focus on the earth if they do not have God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's created the earth, yes, but there's also a spiritual world there. And many commentators, they determine from these words that this, on the first day, God created, well, the heavenly realm, the angels and so on. This was the occasion when God created all these things. God created the heaven and the earth. And so we have to embrace both these aspects, the heaven and the earth, those things that are temporal and those things that are eternal. If we don't, well, our lives are empty, just living for this world, for the things of this world that last such a short time, that cannot truly fill us. That which truly fills us, they are spiritual things. God has not just created earth, it's the heaven and the earth. We need both. We need to embrace both. And then our lives will be fulfilled. When we know that there is a heaven, when we know that there is an eternity, eternal life, when we know that there is a God, these things give us meaning. And well, these words, we apply them in this spiritual way. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Well, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Lord, well, he is about to declare that there be light in those very famous words in verse 3. But before we look at those words, we note the presence of the Spirit of God. And this is, of course, that which we know as the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. We, of course, all know these things. God is one, but there are three persons within the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is there at the very dawn of creation. He is moving upon the face of the waters. And in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we have God the Father, we have God the Spirit in attendance, but when we get to verse 3, well, here we have God the Son. And well, you may say to me, well, where is God the Son here? Well, we read it in these words, and God said. the Word of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Word of God. We'll see this a little later in John chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the expression of God. How does God express himself? It is through Christ. He is the Word of God. Imagine if you could never speak, if you could never express yourself. Well, people could see you, but they wouldn't know anything about your character. They wouldn't know anything about your plans, about your purposes. They wouldn't really know anything about you. It's only when you express yourself, when you speak, that you are known in that act of communication. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who makes God known. He is the Word of God. It is only through Christ that we know God, not through any other religion. The Muslims would insist that they know God. But you can't know God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the Word of God, who is the expression of God. That which we know of him, that which we know of his purposes and his plans, he is the Word. And God said, this indicates to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is present. God the Father, God the Spirit, and the Word of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the expression of God. And God said, and it's backed up, verse 3, let there be light, and there was light. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, he is called the light of the world. The light of the world. With light, we can apply it to this revelation of God. With light, or without light rather, you cannot see anything. You need light to be able to see. Of course, that's the most basic application we can make. So without Christ, we cannot see God. We need Christ. He is the light that shows us God in his fullest expression. And here we see it in this third verse. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Christ is that light that will make known ultimately to man what God is like, the revelation of God. And really, this is the purpose. This is the purpose why God created the heaven and the earth, why he creates the seas, the earth, why he creates man. Why does he even do these things? So that he can reveal himself to us. He wants to reveal himself to man through Christ, through the Word of God. This is why creation has begun. God, the living God, wants to reveal himself to creatures such as we are through Christ, the living Word, through the light of the world that will come in. Now, we have to, of course, look to the New Testament. So if we turn to John chapter 1, this will help us with our thinking. John chapter 1 and verse 1. And these words, they clearly speak of the creation of the world, that which we have been looking at. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Excuse me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. The first chapter of John's Gospel, the Word of God. And he was with God in the beginning, the second person of the triune Godhead, and the Word was God. So he's equal with God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Well, again, we can connect this with what we have been considering. All things were made by him. God spake, let there be light. And through that word, through that commandment, through that expression, all things are made by him. Christ is the living word that creates. When God speaks, it is as though Christ is creating all things. He is the word of God. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So this supports what we have been considering. God speaks, let there be light, but that word is Christ. Christ himself is that word. Christ himself is that light. The first thing that is made known in the creation is the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, now, this is speaking, of course, this is using the creation account to describe something else. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The life was the light of men. This is using the creation account as a symbol, as a teaching aid, to speak about spiritual life. Spiritual life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, as our sinful selves, as natural people, we are in darkness. This is what the scriptures teach us. We are born sinners. We are spiritually dead. We are in darkness. But then when we come to faith, then we see the light. The light, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of men, enters into our souls and gives us light. So these words here in verses of John's Gospel, they teach to us what the creation is really all about, what the creation is pointing to. The creation account in Genesis, yes, it's speaking about the literal creation of the world, of heaven and earth, but it's also a symbol of that spiritual life. Just like the earth was in darkness, was without form, was empty. Well, we are like that before we are saved. We are in darkness. We are empty. We are without form. And then that light comes into our lives and changes us. The light of men. It breathes spiritual life into us. And then verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, of course, this is speaking about the hardness of men. Even when the light enters in, the darkness cannot understand it. And we read in John chapter 3, the condemnation upon those who harden their hearts against Christ, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Well, this is the sad state of man. But before we go back to Genesis, let's just turn to 2 Corinthians, that which we read as our scripture reading this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And again, this will give us further understanding as to how the creation account is linked to the salvation of lost souls and the gospel age. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's begin with verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So again, we have the gospel of Christ likened to light, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. We could read the expression of God there, should shine unto them. And then verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. But verse 6 really ties this to the creation. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, when did he do that? Well, that was in Genesis chapter 1. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. This is the creation account, and look what it's likened to. Look what it's connected to. Hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is speaking of the gospel. The very first words in Genesis, really it's pointing to the gospel. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, this is what it means, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who gives light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We cannot truly see God as he is without that light, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the only way. The other religions, as I've mentioned, they may claim to know God, but it's only through Christ, through his light, through knowledge of him, that we see God clearly, the true and living God, of course. So I just want to point these things out to you. And as I was mentioning to one of you earlier, we always use the New Testament to shed light, literally, on these verses in the Old Testament and even in the book of Genesis. But let's return to Genesis chapter 1. And let's continue looking at these words. So these words, well, they point to the gospel. But these are glorious in their own right. God said, verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God divided the light from the darkness. Now, one way in which God reveals himself to us in this world and in the gospel age, one way in which God will reveal himself to us is by contrast. Contrast. Now, we know because, again, the New Testament tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And when we read these words here, God saw the light that it was good and God divided the light from the darkness. Well, he is revealing himself in contrast. This is how God has determined to make himself known to us, to human beings, by contrast, light and darkness. How do we know? Part of the way in which we know what God is like is by knowing what God is not like. That is how God has determined to show us these things. Well, these are deep and mysterious things, but many people ask, why does God allow the existence of darkness? Why does God allow the existence of Satan, for example, in this dispensation over so many years? Why would God allow the existence of Satan? Well, one of the reasons is because he wants to show us what he is not. We learn who God is by knowing what he is not. Satan is the contrast, the works of darkness. We see those things and we know what God is not. That helps us in our understanding of what God is like. Now, this, of course, is not the only way that God could reveal himself to us. God doesn't have to have Satan to teach us about himself, but it's the way that he has chosen to reveal himself to us, by contrast. And, we can think about the people of God. We are made known in this world by contrast. How do we know who the people of God are? Because we are contrasted against those who are not the people of God. That's how we can tell. Those who have been called out of the world. Those who are different. Those who walk in light. We read that very much in the New Testament. Those who are children of the day. We do not walk in darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we are to come out of the darkness. We are to walk in day. We are to be a light to this world. There is to be a contrast, a difference between us and those who are not of the Lord. There is a contrast. This is how the children of God will be identified. They are different to those who do not know the Lord. And so this is one of the ways in which God reveals himself to us. This is the contrast. And well, I've mentioned it before, I'm sure, but the first day, and this is the first day, of course, the first day will be very much like the last day. The first day of the world, of creation, will be very much like the last day of the world. The first day of the world, well, God divided the light from the darkness. He set apart the light from the darkness. Well, what will happen on the last day, on the day of judgment, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back? Well, again, light will be separated from darkness. Of course, it will be us, those who trust in the Lord, the children of light. We will be separated from those who are in darkness. At the present time, we live together, those who are unbelievers and those who are believers. But at the very end, well, the last day will be just like the first day. There'll be a separation. Only then it will be eternal. Those who are the children of light, well, there will be an eternal day. They will forever live in light. Those who are in darkness, they will forever live in darkness. There'll be a separation. There'll be a great contrast. And, these things we are reminded of. We see even the last day, even in the first day. God saw the light that it was good. Well, we will be declared good on that day because we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Really, God will see the goodness of Christ and we will be declared good. But those who are lost will be cast into everlasting darkness. So again, we can see these applications come through. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Well, now, I was looking to go on to a lot further into the chapter, but perhaps we ought to end with the first day. That may be a fitting place to end. But, let's just end affirming that this is a literal 24-hour day. We read at the end of verse 5, and it's specifically put here, the evening and the morning were the first day. Doesn't that suggest to us that this is a literal 24-hour day? Again, this is in a great contention even among Christian circles, and perhaps sincere believers get very confused. They think that the Genesis account is speaking about years or about long periods of time, but they just use the word day. But it's clear here, the evening and the morning were the first day. That's very hard to reason out of the reckoning. Now, it is true that the Hebrew word for day, which many of you know is yom, it can have multiple meanings, many possible meanings. But this, we have to remember, this is the first time that this word is being used. The first time that yom is being used in Scripture. So it's natural to believe that the first time that this word yom, day, is being used, it will refer to the literal sense, to a 24-hour day. The first occasion of yom being used, well, it wouldn't be a metaphorical use of the word. That would be very far-fetched, that the first time yom is used, it actually means something different to what it actually means to the literal sense of the word. Yom, the first time it is used, it must mean what it actually means, a 24-hour day. Also, when the word yom is accompanied with a number, as it is throughout this whole account, day one, the first day, it's day one in the Hebrew rather than the first day, and the second day, day two, day three, when the Hebrew word is accompanied with a number, in the Old Testament, it always means a literal day. It can't possibly mean a number of years or an unspecified amount of time. Day one, day two, day three. Well, it's obvious that this is speaking about literal days. And by the way, excuse me, if it wasn't a day, a literal day, well, of course, there were other words that could have been used. Moses could have used any number of other words. There are Hebrew words for years. There are Hebrew words for generations. There are Hebrew words for a long time. But this is not the word that Moses has used. He has very specifically used the word yom. And of course, well, we know that these 7 days were always seen by the Israelites to be 7 days. This made up their week. Their week was not made up of 70 years or an unspecified period of time. They knew that these were days. And the seventh day, well, that was to be sanctified and set apart for the Lord. Well, this is the first day, the evening and the morning. I wanted to go on to further things, but I think we've looked at enough this evening. But, well, may the Lord bless these things to us. And what a glorious thing it is to consider that even at the very start, the gospel is in the eternal mind on day one. This is why the world was created. It's evident in the New Testament. Let there be light, and there was light. The gospel is seen. Christ is seen, even here. May he be at the forefront of our thinking every day in which we live. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh, dear Lord, we thank thee that thou art the creator of the heaven and the earth. Oh, Lord, we thank thee that there is a purpose to life, that there is a gospel, that there is a way to eternal life, a way whereby we may dwell in eternal light. Oh, dear Lord, bless this light to us. Lead us to greater light, dear Lord, as we consider these verses in the weeks to come. And, oh, dear Lord, bless our souls that we may walk in the light, that we may indeed be children of light in contrast to this world of darkness. Oh, Lord, strengthen us, we pray, that we may honor thee in these things. We ask it all in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.